This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. We're speaking with Hal Wick. Hal, you're the representative of what district now?
District 12.
And District 12 is where?
Well, I like to call it the south central western part of Sioux Falls. It runs from 12th Street to 85th. The eastern border is Minnesota, but it's like an inside-out hourglass because it's got pushes on both sides, and it gets back down over to
Western. And you've been in the South Dakota legislature for how long?
Well, in this term, this is the second term that I've had in this session or this block, and you're allowed 4 8-year terms. This is my 20th year.
Now, 20 years, you got to figure going to Pier and back, you must have went around the world just going to Pier and back.
I've never checked the miles, but since I flew for the airline, I kind of went around the world a little bit anyway.
Well, no, you were with Western Airlines in the old days, right?
No, I was with North Central first.
Central. Okay.
And North Central became Republic, and then we got bought by Northwest, and now my retirement check comes from Delta, because they bought all of it after I left.
Well, it's part of the times. Now, you were talking at the Chamber of Commerce coffee that you remember when gasoline was 11 cents and the gas war was 9 cents. I kind of remember those days.
Well, that was probably my high school days. But
Did you graduate?
I graduated in 62 at O'Gorman.
Well, I was 65 at Washington. I had a graduating class of 1,000.
Okay.
I'm still meeting people that I graduated with that I don't even know. But Sioux Falls was a lot different back then.
It was. It was much smaller. When I'll never forget driving to down to school at O'Gorman. And actually, when the school was built down there, people thought maybe somebody lost their mind to put it clear down there in the cornfields. But we drove from 26th Street. We drove on gravel down to O'Gorman.
Yeah. And yeah, 41st was South Sioux. I remember taking Morse code for Boy Scouts at the South Sioux Township Hall. And so things have come a long ways, but what I'm saying is you've got a lot of experience over the years. You've seen things grow. You're a native that has been, you know the history of things. And, Hal, I think the legislature right now, there seems to be a consensus that I felt anyway that we need to wean ourselves from many federal programs.
I think we have to start getting ready to be weaned from federal programs and anything else that is wasteful, actually, because somewhere the spending at the federal level is going to catch up with the federal government. I mean, we can't spend our way out of debt. Everybody that has a budget knows that if they don't have the money to spend, they can't buy whatever they want. Sometimes they have to wait, put some money aside, or do something. And the federal government has been just, I'm sorry, they're just gone nuts.
Well, I think we've all learned what happens when you have too many credit cards.
Well, if we haven't, we know somebody that certainly has.
Yes.
Or we have a child or a niece or a nephew or somebody that's done that, and it makes life very difficult.
Well, Hal, the legislature also, I think, we're standing on the shoulders of many people who bit the bullet a while back to get us to where we actually have a balanced budget. We've got what we had, $75,000 extra that we were able to spend last year and that type of thing. This is really a model of what the United States government should be.
Well, and it's this year, I mean, it's in this present year's budget, which we're, a little better than halfway through it. Suddenly there's some extra dollars there and we have to figure out what to do with them. Some people want to put them into a program that would spend all the time forever into the future. And I really resist that kind of thing because I feel like if you take and spend everything you have and it creates a program where you have to keep spending, we're going to come up short. If we take those dollars and we pay off any debts that we have, then we can actually increase our cash flow in the future. I think what the governor's trying to do on some of it is good, but I think there's some things that we have taken funds away from that have to be protected. So
the issue in Medicare, I think, falls in that category a little bit, doesn't it?
Medicare could really get to be an extremely expensive program because if it, or Medicaid, Mm-hmm. Medicaid's the one that they want to expand. And what I fear there is that the federal government today is saying, we'll give you all these dollars. You're going to have $200 million more to spend. And the other side of the aisle seems to think that's economic development, but that's economic chaos, because when the federal government runs out of funds, they don't have enough to do it in the first place, but when they really run out of funds, that's going to fall back on the state. And even if they were doing everything balanced and coordinated, if we look back on the original Medicaid, we weren't stuck with 48% of the cost. We were paying just a little bit, and we were helping people, and they were, and suddenly now we're, as our incomes are going up in the state, they push more and more of the cost on the people of South Dakota.
One thing I've learned about the federal government in my years, Hal, is that whatever they say now is going to be 20 years from now. They change all the rules before you get there. I remember when they came out with IRAs as a good way to save, but then 20 years later when you went to cash it in, they changed the rules so much that it wasn't worth as much as it was when you put it in.
That's true. We've seen them change the rules midstream, and it hurts the people that are trying to coordinate.
Social Security, a lot of those funds have been taken. Hal, I think some of the main issues, just to go over lightly, because there's so many that we could talk all day here. We had Gene Abdullah on last week, and there's a difference if you're a corrections officer in penitentiary having to deal with somebody that has a lifetime sentence and doesn't have anything to lose when it comes to the capital punishment. Do you think, how do you think that's going to come out, you know, a month from now?
The discussion will be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good for people to rethink where we are on capital punishment. I happen to be one that was there when they then Governor Janklow instituted the death penalty, or got it changed so that it was reinstated. And he tried to change my mind, as well as former Majority Leader Joe Barnett tried to change my mind and see if they could get me to vote with the rest. Janklow wanted all the Republicans, I think, to vote for it, or was hoping they all would, and I was one that didn't, because I've always felt like life is sacred, and we have to take the time and think about the people, no matter whether it's, I always say, it's life is sacred. It starts at conception, it ends at a natural death, and a person ought to be able to live that whole cycle. We don't have any clue of how long it is, but a person ought to be able to live that cycle. We ought to protect it. I think somebody that makes a horrible mistake, and I'm frankly, it might be mental problems, it might be a lot of different things, it might be just being afraid of something, because a lot of things that happen are people that get in a situation and they make a horrible mistake and pull a trigger or something, and they never should have. But I think if we give them time, they have a chance to, and I'll say repent, to ask for forgiveness, to figure out what they did wrong. But to do away with them prematurely doesn't give them the time to think about what they've done.
That's what I really liked about the Chamber of Commerce Legislative Coffee they had. There was, I think, about 15 legislators up there. But they had such a good discussion about things. I mean, there would be, you know, pro this way or con that way. But that discussion is what's good.
Well, and I think everybody needs to look at those things once in a while. It's been, if I remember right, it was 79 was the year that the death penalty was reinstated. And that's a long time to let it go and not talk about it.
Well, to cover a couple other points, Common Core seems to be in the news quite a bit. And there's even some confusion with the legislators about all of the issues tied to Common Core.
Well, part of that comes from the fact that we only seem to get the argument from this side or this side. We can't get the two of them together and have a good debate. And what we really need is to get some of the, and I'll call them experts, on either side of the issue. We need to hear them debate it and talk about the differences. And I think we could decide then, you know, if there's good in it. I'm sure there are good things in it. I'm also pretty sure there are things in it that I don't like.
Well, you come all the way back from Pierre, and then Saturday you have the legislative coffee. You're sitting here at the station doing things. Really, when the legislature's in session, you really don't have much time to yourself, do you?
No. People would probably be a little bit surprised, but a normal, I'll call it normal uptime in Pierre for me seems to be on a good day, I sleep until around 6:15, 6:20, and on the other days they're a little longer. Sometimes it's 5:15 or 5:20, and bed doesn't happen until midnight or 1.
We're speaking with Hal Wick. Now, you've been around long enough to remember the days when Sioux Falls was kind of the everybody would gang up on Sioux Falls in the legislature, but I haven't seen that so much lately, have I?
I don't think so. I believe that across the state, people are realizing that this community has become an engine for the state, and we are a tremendous benefit to the rest because we share. I mean, the dollars collected here are shared across the state. They don't all stay here. We certainly need to continue to work to try and keep the smaller communities going. Nobody will take anything away from trying to keep every small community running, but one of the most difficult things is to have enough employees in some of those communities to be able to start other businesses.
Wouldn't it be easy to gain weight when you're in session, because there's so many lobbyists having breakfast and you're smiling, you know what I'm saying. Are there too many lobbyists in our system?
I don't believe so. They all serve a purpose. We don't have immediate access to everything that's out there, and they are the people that we can go to. They'll give us the answers. The really good ones even give you their opponent's answers, because they want to show you how they're wrong, or they want to show you what's better about their side, and they'll share those things. And frankly, if a lobbyist isn't doing a good job out there, and when I say good job, if he's not honest and working in an above board way all the time, you'll see him last less than a year sometimes.
Now, they have to be registered. That was something that I think Janko did too, wasn't it?
I don't remember the year that happened, but they have to be registered. They go to the Secretary of State. They wear a badge. We even have badges for the state employees now, where if they're lobbying, they have to wear a special badge.
Well, now, is this a short session or the long session this year?
They're all the same now.
Okay.
It's supposedly, and I shouldn't say supposedly, what it's turned into is a 40-day session each year. But each year we have, for at least the last 3 years, 4 years, we have set everyone up to be about 38 days long. 38 days long, we have a day reserved that's strictly for a veto override, because the governor at the end of session has 15 days to veto a bill or pass it, sign it. And we save a day just beyond that point where he has to do something, so that if he does something we don't like, we can change it.
They often say keep church and state separate, but religion's crept into this legislature with some bills indirectly, you might say, a little bit this year.
I disagree with your idea that church and state should be separate. I think if you really read the Constitution, look at it, what it says basically the federal government or state governments will, and our state constitutions are pretty much the same, but they basically say that they will not endorse a religion. They won't pick the, and I'll say Methodists or the Lutherans or the Catholics, they won't pick those and call them the religion. But I think if you really read the Constitution, I'll disagree with some of the judgments that have been made, I'm sure, but I think that sometimes even the Supreme Court has gone outside of the limits on some of the things they've done. I feel like this nation was founded by people that had very Christian beliefs. And I think if you go back and really read about George Washington, all of this nation is built upon beliefs in God, the Ten Commandments, and the rule of law. And I believe that if we follow those things, we can continue to be a great nation. But if we fall away from it, then we fall away from what really has kept it together.
Well, I think South Dakota's kind of hung on to that more than most other states.
I would agree with South Dakota, but I think it's really Midwest. I think it's kind of a Midwest mentality that says that we have to trust each other. We have to be able to trust each other.
Well, Hal, you do see over the time, like I say, you've been around here for quite a long time to see things change. Where is South Dakota heading, I guess, in your opinion right now? We've got a lot of people coming into the state. We don't want it to be a bust like North Dakota. You know, I had to laugh at the tourism bureaus kidding each other where they said, come to North Dakota and get a job, and then South Dakota says, well, come to South Dakota and get a life. But, you know, what I'm saying is that we have a pretty planned, I think, and good growth.
I would say to this point we've had really good growth, but we probably realistically have to look at North Dakota and start to think about what they're doing and what's happening up there, because that oil is in South Dakota as well, and there's more oil that's been discovered very close to the western border in the southern part of the state. And I think if that oil production gets moving, then we're going to have more things to contend with on the order of North Dakota. But what I'd like to see is that we continue to work to do things, plan, and see if we can't make sure that as it happens, we're prepared for it a little better than, because this was, I think, a very big shock to North Dakota. We should plan a little bit with what they're doing and make sure that we don't get caught with the same problems.
Well, we also have some of the poorest counties in the nation. Is that anything in the legislature right now that, you know, our Native American reservations and that, are there some things that we need to look at there?
It's extremely difficult for us to do anything in those areas because the federal government is so involved and they are sovereign nations. I think that this governor and in the past several others have really worked hard to try and coordinate with Native Americans to do as much as we can. And if you actually talk to Native Americans, some of them don't want you to call them that, because you were born in this country and I was too, and we're natives. And
yeah, we're all Americans.
They would rather be called by the tribes that they belong to as a Lakota or a Dakota or something on that.
Well, they're working hard to keep their language and keep their culture alive. We do have a 12,000-year history. Talking to Mr. Handis of Augustana, we have woolly mammoths here in Sioux Falls that they've dug up at some of the quarries. And so we have a pretty good history right here in Sioux Falls, more than you think. But we're speaking with Hal Wick about the South Dakota legislature. I brought up a couple issues, but what are some of the ones that really are of concern to you this year?
Well, I think they're all of concern in the long run. I mean, to me, the death penalty is a serious consideration. Common Core is, to me, is critical. We can't let the federal government tell us how to do things. We've got to keep it on a local level. But if there's something good there, I think we need to use it. But if there's anything that's going to go out and let the government have a bigger handle on what we are and what we're doing and directing us, I don't think that's good for us. I don't think it's good for the nation. If we look at our spending, make sure that we keep our budget going in line and get as much done as we can, but prepare for the future, because all of these things, I've got a bill that I was looking at, and I have too many bills, so I couldn't get it put in, but Senator Otten's putting in a bill that will get us to start looking at oil revenues and what they're doing in Alaska, and try and build a permanent fund so that when something like that runs out, whether it's 100 years or 200 years from now, that next generation afterwards is going to be stuck with a tremendous cost, because we tend to spend what we have. I've never seen the legislature, I shouldn't say never. I have not been able to see the legislature get enough people together that we can build reserves when there are a lot of dollars there. Most people want to spend it. But I think another one that's coming out, I think we need to wean ourselves from video lottery. And Representative Hickey took one of my bills and he's put that in. In 12 years, we would build a trust fund out of video lottery revenue so that we could do away with video lottery and we could continue to take care of government.
a lot of people thought that was going to go towards education, but not much of it did.
Well, it, you know, some of it does because it goes into the general fund, but it isn't specifically going into education. It never has.
Well, again, there's good discussion going on now. It's Super Bowl weekend. Where is the legislature in its evolution of this session? You've got a lot of bills out. A lot of them have disappeared. There's still, how do you wade through all of those bills and start to really start voting on them?
Well, we've already started. We've had committee meetings going for since the third day we're there. And in the, some cases, early in a session, it's education. Where are we? Where's the Department of Revenue at? I mean, as far as I'm on tax, our first meeting was to look at revenue, where we are, what's been done, all the changes that might be there, and what they're looking at for changes in the future. And then education has been my other committee that spends a lot of time, has been really hearing from all levels of education, the tech schools, the high the K through 12, and the university system. And I kind of feel like that was a start, and then we started doing bills. We had four bills up in education yesterday. We had five bills up in tax the day before, and those things are moving through. We've already had Senate bills that came across, and we're in the third week. So I feel like we're starting to move along real well.
Well, every year's revenue education, you know that. But it seems like they were talking about a lot of bills that were to talk about federal things and really work South Dakota. You know, how do you get rid of that chaff, I guess?
Well, we have a bill coming up. It'll be up Friday in State Affairs that Representative Steele put in. That's a Delegate Limitation Act for an Article 5 convention. And it would basically lay out the penalties for anyone that didn't follow what the state sent them to do if they go to a convention. It's to make sure that there's a general fear out there that's totally invalid in my mind, but it's a fear of a runaway convention that we'd lose our Constitution. Those people that are on that side, if they would look at the Article 5 and the way it really is defined, and with what 20 or 21 states right now have already passed something calling for a balanced budget, and they've also passed these delegate limitation things so that nothing can happen with the people that would go to one of these conventions. I have a constitutional amendment. It was actually passed. I first got it done in 1979, and people fearing a runaway convention removed all of those from our calls in 2009 when I wasn't in the legislature. But we're bringing it back this year, and we're hopeful that that will pass on Friday as well. And then we'd be the 21st state. Michigan's working on it. They may beat us because they might get it done on Thursday, and they'll be all done. We have to still go to the Senate, and both sides approve this. But I feel like we have to address what they're doing at the federal level, and they aren't doing it. We got to 32 states once before. And then Congress started to act like they were going to do something, but they've always just never really finished it.
So you would, the state legislature would be giving a laundry list that they want their representatives to actually work on.
This would be one item for them to work on, mm-hmm. to balance the budget. And they would, there's a need to quit spending the money at that level. And we've got to direct them, and we've got to get them to understand we're serious. We're not going to pass it this time.
It's not too late for people to call and give their concerns and give their input and give their advice whatever. It's not that, you know, they can reach their legislators. They can go to these coffees, but they can call you. They can email you. What's the best way that you like to get people to contact you about?
You know, whatever's easiest for them. If they want to write, I read everything that comes across my desk, everything is sent to me. I don't answer all the emails, but some days there are 200 emails or more, and but I try to I read everything that comes across on the emails, and if there's a phone call, I try to respond to it, and my phone's on silent when I'm out there a lot, but the home phone is there. My wife Jane is fabulous at, you know, giving them my cell phone so they can call me in peer and things. And I'm not going to put my cell phone on the radio right now, but probably someday I should. But home, I'm in the phone book, and we do respond.
What's the biggest issue that you're getting a lot of feedback on right now?
I'd say the biggest issue right now is the Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of concerns about it, and I share a lot of those concerns.
Well, give us a quick thumbnail sketch, because a lot of people don't understand even what Common Core is in the education system.
Well, Common Core, to me, right now, it's only covering the mathematics and the English. And it's a way to teach kids and the things that they want the kids to be taught in those subjects as they come up. And I think if you started it at first grade or kindergarten and you brought kids along, it would be a lot easier to see what it is. But the fears that are there are the things that are there to track students and how they track them and what all they want to know about students. There are 400 items, actually, in one of the lists that we talked about in education yesterday. And those are items we don't want the federal government or anybody else at another level to pick up and be able to use.
Some people say, well, it's a way of guiding them, and other people say you're pigeonholing them.
See, and if you really look at what we're doing, South Dakota is really well off mm-hmm. in their education. We've been number 7 most all the years in the past. And frankly, if you took our poorest schools out, and we'd be higher. But we need to help make sure that we stay there. And I'm afraid these things, Common Core, and trying to get everybody to be exactly the same, will lower our standards and lower what we get for results.
Well, we're speaking with Hal Wick. What do you know, when the legislature ends, maybe they'll come back in the summer, but what do you want to have accomplished by the time it ends this year?
Well, I want the call for a constitutional, the Article 5 to be done, and the call for a balanced budget at their level. I want our state budget to be balanced. I want all of our funds that have been swept in the past, the aeronautics fund, the railroad fund, the streamlined sales tax reduction fund, I want those reinstated. And you know, I guess I hope we can do away with death penalty if that were one thing, but I hope we can resolve the Common Core as well.
You mentioned railroads. You know, 125 years ago, you could get on a train and go to Pier. That'd be a lot easier than driving in these blizzards, wouldn't it?
A lot easier. I used to fly back and forth, mm-hmm. and that worked real well, too.
Do you think we'll ever see a passenger railroad going across the state at all? Nothing's even being talked about that, is there?
Nothing in that area is being talked about. But we certainly need them for the grains that we're hauling mm-hmm. all over the world now.
Well, agriculture is still a big part of it. Was the October blizzard with the livestock, was that brought up in the legislature?
Yes, it's been brought up. The gentlemen and, the families out west that lost a lot of their herds and stuff are a big concern. There are things to help them. People in the state are great because we're very giving, and a lot of dollars have been raised to help, you know, a free will offering was done by enough people that there are a lot of dollars available in that direction too.
Helwick, I've got 1 minute left. What, you know, in the 20 years you've been in the legislature, what are you most proud of so far?
I think probably some of the neatest things I got to do was zero-based budgeting as a new guy when I got that instituted. The balanced budget amendment when I did it in 79 was something I thought was very, very worthwhile. I think to always work for less spending and lower taxes. And frankly, some people that go out there don't look at how many bills they pass, but it's how many they kill. And a lot of times what I'm looking for is to make sure we can preserve what we have in South Dakota. I want my kids and grandkids to want to grow up here and be able to raise their families like I have and have wonderful results.
Yeah, you really have to work hard sometimes to keep what you have.
A lot of times you have to work to keep people from wanting to take from what you have.
Now, there's a place where they can get more information. There's the SouthDakota.gov. They can watch public television, I think. They can, a lot of places where they can, and actually go up and observe in Pier, go up in the lobby and watch you guys, what you do. What would you say to someone who says, well, they're a young kid, maybe they want to be a representative someday? What can you say to them?
when you get to, when you get involved in the political process anywhere, stuff envelopes, talk to somebody that's running for office and work a little bit for them, get to know who's doing that. And then I would say the best things you can do is by the time you're getting into high school, think about being a page when you're a senior. As soon as you get into college, work on being an intern. I've had, I've had a couple interns that I worked with back in the 70s that are legislators now. One I know that's coming back next session or wants to, and he's already been out there once. And I've seen some young people that, you know, 21, 22 years old that have been out there as interns, and as soon as they finish college, the next thing they do, a couple of them ran before they got out of college.
And, well, if you want to, you can. And Helwick, representative from Sioux Falls, I want to thank you for being with us on Forum.
I very much appreciate being asked, and it was good to talk to you. I've listened to you for a long time, so it's kind of fun to finally be here.